So ask your neighbor, is it my garden or is it your garden? My garden or your garden? Is it my garden or your garden? My garden, your garden. Jose, if you can jump on the computer, I have some garden pictures there I want to show. How many of us enjoy looking at a nice garden or going around? Does that look nice? Does that look beautiful? How about that one? That looks nice too, right? There's a little windmill right there, some flowers. Those look pretty, right? Aw, so nice. Beautiful. Nice. I think I've got like 8 different garden places. That's good. Is that all the garden ones? No, I didn't go back. Thank you. You gotta go back. Gotta go back. If we were spiritually building a garden, most of us would want it to look similar to one of these that we just showed, right? We would like to be colorful and beautiful, right? Very nice and sweet and kind. I mean, if we're going to build a garden, go on to one of those last ones for me, Bella. Would you want it to look like that? Would you want your garden to look like this? Or last one, I think I put 3 of those, right? Then go back to the beginning. Thank you. See, sometimes spiritually, as colorful and as beautiful as we want it to be, sometimes we end up being a wasteland. Sometimes no matter how hard we try, sometimes no matter what we do, even if we want it so bad. We want to be beautiful. We want to be all of these things. But sometimes life spiritually, it can look like a wasteland. And how many of us know that in 2020, it did feel a little different, right? How many of us know that in 2020, it was a different kind of year? And actually, I want to read a verse before we jump into our main text. And that is, it was Jules. Matthew, is it working? It is, but you can't read it. Nope, that's not it. All right, Matthew, there it is. Matthew 24:37. When the Son of Man returns, it will be like it was in Noah's day. In those days before the flood, the people were enjoying banquets and parties and weddings right up to the time Noah entered his boat. People didn't realize what was going to happen until the flood came and swept them all away. That is the way it will be when the Son of Man comes. 2 men will be working together in a field. 1 will be taken, the other left. 2 women will be grinding flour at the mill. 1 will be taken and the other left. I can tell you that last year in 2020, there were as many people who said it was the end of the world, right? There are so many people. There was prophecy after prophecy. The end of the world is coming. I remember talking with one person who said December, that was going to be it. We were all going to be gone. It was going to be devastation and darkness and all kinds of things. And how many of us, we felt like, yeah, this is, we are definitely, maybe it is next month, maybe it's in 2 weeks, right? But I want to encourage you, God put this on my heart this week, that, you know, we all feel that it is getting closer to the end when he comes back. But what will it be like when he comes back? People will be busy. And honestly, in my opinion, a lot of us Christians, we're getting into being busy again, but we're not busy for the Lord. We're busy for ourselves. When he comes back, people will be enjoying a banquet. Now, there's nothing wrong with banquets, right? We hear Joel say every week he enjoys eating food, right? He enjoys those banquets. Parties, there's nothing wrong with good, clean, you know, G-rated parties. And weddings. How many of us know weddings? Those are all 3 good things. Banquets, parties, and weddings. But what are those typically, those things represent? They're for ourselves. And so as 2021 has started, as life kind of somewhat is feeling like it's a little bit normal, I just have a sense that Christians are starting to get busy again, but they're being busy for themselves and not busy for the Lord. God's return is coming back. And what does he want to find? He wants to find you serving him. Now, we all serve him differently. Some of us stand on street corners, right? Some of us drive down the car and throw eggs at people that have a Bible verse inside. That's always my favorite, right? We all serve God differently. We serve him in different ways. Some of us at work, we like to witness, maybe leave a track, or maybe some of us don't do any of those things. Maybe we just pray for the lost every single day. But every single one of us needs to find our part and do our part and make sure that we're doing what he asks us to do. Because he doesn't want you to be busy for you. He wants you to be busy for him. And then secondly, before we jump into our text tonight, you know, have you ever asked, what exactly does Zoe mean? What exactly does Zoe IE mean? You know, Zoe IE, the IE means Inland Empire because we're in Riverside County, right? But Zoe means life. Now, how many of us know, pinch your neighbor real quick and see if they're alive. And ask, are you alive? Are you alive? Or pinch yourself, am I alive tonight? When you were born at the hospital, if you were born at the hospital, maybe you were born in a vehicle or a trailer, I don't know, but most of us were born in a hospital, right? You were giving birth, mom gave birth, and here you were, you came into the world. You were now born physically, brought into this world. The Bible says that when you become born again, now your life begins again. You're a brand new person, right? What does Zoe mean? Zoe, I mean? Zoe means it is life, but it's the life that God has given to you. So when you give your life over to Him and you become born again, you now start to discover the Zoe life that God has for you. It's the life that you were always meant to live. It's the life that you were meant to, let's see if this works here. It's that beautiful, colorful, vibrant life that God designed for you. So when someone asks you, where do you go to church? You say, Zoe. What does it mean? It means it's the beautiful life that God has prepared for me. And He's prepared for you, so I'll see you next week. Right? All right. Our text tonight is not there because that's too colorful. But let's go here. It's actually in Esther. Have your Bibles. I think I'm reading in the New and in NIV tonight. On the seventh day, when King Xerxes was in high spirits from wine, he commanded the seven eunuchs who served him, Muhammad, Bizra, Harbana, Bigtha, Abitha, Zethar, Carcass, to bring before him Queen Vashti, wearing her royal crown, in order to display her beauty to the people and nobles, because she was lovely to look at. But when the attendants delivered the king's command, Queen Vashti refused to come. Then the king became furious, and he burned with anger. Mukin replied in the presence of the king and the nobles, Queen Vashti has done wrong, not only against the king, but against all the nobles, all the peoples of the provinces of King Xerxes. For the queen's conduct will become known to all women, and then they will despise their husbands and say, King Xerxes commanded Queen Vashti to be brought before him, but she would not come. This very day, the Persian and the Median women of nobility who have heard about the queen's conduct will respond to all the king's nobles in the same way, and there'll be no end of disrespect and discord. I'm going to kind of bounce around a little bit, but we're going to read through a little story. Esther 2, verse 3. That let the king appoint commissioners in every province of his realm to bring all these beautiful young women into the harem at the citadel of Susa. Let them be placed under the care of Haggai, the king's eunuch, who is in charge of the women, and let beauty treatments be given to them. Sounds nice, right? Then let the young women who please the king be queen instead of Vashti. This advice appealed to the king, and so he followed it. Mordecai had a cousin named Hadassah, whom he had brought up because she had neither father nor mother. This young woman, who was also known as Esther, turn to your neighbor and say, Esther, had a lovely figure and was beautiful. Mordecai had taken her as his own daughter when her father and mother had died. When the king's order and edict had been proclaimed, many young women were brought to the citadel of Susa and put under the care of Haggai. Esther also was taken to the king's palace and entrusted to Haggai, who had charge of the harem. She pleased him, and she won his favor. Immediately, he provided her with beauty treatments and special food. He assigned to her seven female attendants selected from the king's palace and moved her and her attendants into the best place. Turn to your neighbor and say, the best place. In the harem. Esther had not revealed her nationality and family background because Mordecai had forbidden her to do so. Just a couple more. Before a young woman's turn came to go into King Xerxes, she had to complete 12 months of beauty treatments. 12 months of beauty treatments prescribed from the woman, 6 months with oil of myrrh, and 6 with perfumes and cosmetics. When the turn came for Esther, the young woman Mordecai had adopted, the daughter of his uncle Abihail, to go to the king, she asked for nothing other than what Haggai, the king's eunuch who was in charge of the harem, suggested. And Esther won the favor of everyone who saw her. She was taken to the king in the royal residence in the 10th month, the month of Tebeth, in the 7th year of his reign. Last one. Now the king was attracted to Esther more than to any of the other women. And she won his favor and approval more than any of the other virgins. So he set a royal crown on her head and made her queen instead of Vashti. And the king gave a great banquet, Esther's banquet, for all his nobles and officials. And he proclaimed a holiday throughout the provinces and gave gifts with royal liberty. Such a beautiful story, right? So tonight as we break down our second week, you know, last week we started in our My Garden theme, and we talked about this beautiful box that me and my son Micah put together. Talked about how in this box, if you're going to start your own personal garden, if it's going to be in your backyard or maybe your side yard, or maybe you have, you know, a few acres in the back, wherever you're going to put it. But some people, they'll start and they like to box in their garden, right? They want to provide a little space. We obviously could have made something bigger, right? If you want to build a big garden, you go ahead and build your big garden, right? But in here, for now, for us, this is just a nice little symbol of our little garden, right? So last week, we're talking that this is our space, right? This is my space. This is our space right here. This represents our little garden. We talked about this box that it is. And as we're building our garden, there's a couple things that we have to do, that we have to guard our garden, right? We have to guard our heart. We have to guard our garden. We have to guard because there is evil. How many of us know there's evil everywhere, right? We guard our garden, but we also steward our garden. Now, some of us in here, when it comes to being a good steward, if you make good money, sometimes you'll pay a gardener to do the work because you don't want to trim trees and cut the grass, right? Spiritually, believe it or not, some people are the exact same way. And they would prefer to pay somebody to do the work that God actually wants you to do, right? When it comes to being a good steward of your garden, God's not asking you to pay someone to do the work for you. You have to put in the own work in your own garden. Every single person, whether it feels good, sounds good or not, you have to answer for you when you get to heaven, right? You're not going to answer for brother. Not going to answer for sister, not going to answer for spouse or kids or anybody else. You will answer for you. You are personally responsible for your spiritual walk, for your salvation, because it's your garden, it's your space, it's your life that God has given to you to guard, to steward, right? And then secondly, we talked about it's just as important as you're framing in your garden, as you're getting to guard it, to steward it, That secondly, that we all learn to hold up a sign that says, keep out. Because part of life is learning to keep out people and things that we do not need to let into our lives. That there are, unfortunately, you know, there are amazing, wonderful, and beautiful people out there. They're just not meant to be a part of my life. And so at times, we have to be careful. We have to have that keep out sign. You know, maybe you have a keep out, beware of dog, even if you don't have a dog. Hang up one of those. That's perfect, right? If you don't even have a dog, keep out of my garden. I got a big, vicious, you know, Doberman pitcher that's in here, and he's going to bite your head off, right? Protect your garden at all costs, to guard, to steward, but also to let people know, this is my space. This is my space, and I'm going to guard it, and I'm going to protect it, and you're not allowed into it. And there's two things last week that we talked about. One of the things today in Christianity, I believe with all my heart, there's rebel Christians. Rebel Christians. And that word rebel means a deep root of bitterness. And bitterness comes from not getting our own way. When we, as a parent, when you have kids, and your kids, when they're little and they're babies, when they don't get their own way, most of the time, what do? They cry and they whine until they either get smacked gently or until they get their way. If you go to Walmart, I guarantee you, every single time you will see this and you will hear a kid screaming because if mom or dad is feeling stupid, they're going to walk by the toy section. And as soon as they get close, man, those kids, the antennas are out. And it's like, oh, I saw that on TV. I need that. Right? And then if they don't get it, you know what they're going to do? They're going to throw a fit. But sometimes as adults, when we don't get our own way, we also throw a fit. And we also become spiritually bitter. Bitterness leads to being rebellious. And there are rebellious Christians today. And in my mind, the number one way that Christians are rebellious is they're rebellious towards the Word of God. They read the verses that sound good. They read the verses that feel good. They read the verses that every single day, they make them feel like pumped up and good and juicy and wonderful. And we need those verses. But there's other verses in here that are going to cut us up, chop us down, and make us feel not good. We also need those. There are rebel Christians today who have so much bitterness. And that word rebellious, again, means like a concrete, deep bitterness. They're not getting what they want. They're not getting what they feel. You know, in churches, you look at churches all over the world. There's so many people who come into church and they go out of church because they didn't get what they want. Sometimes people come into church and nobody said hi or they didn't get the hug. You know, sometimes we say go give people, you know, three hugs, and it's the one person who gets missed every single time. After 3 weeks, they're like, I'm out of here. Nobody hugs me. Nobody high-fives me. No one gives me a donut, just Jose, but no one gets me a donut. And so people come in and out of church all the time, and they leave bitter. Why? Because they're there for themselves. There are so many selfish people in our world today, and they become what? Rebel Christians. And so we have to learn to hold up that sign, keep out, because sometimes the rebel Christians in your life, they're not helping you, and you're not influencing them. They're destroying you. And then secondly, we talked about false teachers. And false teachers today, there are men and women who are teaching and preaching the Word of God in such a bad fashion. They are leading people absolutely to hell without even realizing it. You have to be careful who and what you listen to. You have to know what the Word of God says for you. For you. That pastor, that preacher, they're not going to get you to heaven. They're not. You have to make that decision. You need to read the Word of God for yourself. You need to know what it says. You need to read it. You need to listen to it. Yes, but you have to be careful. Jesus said, beware of false teachers. They're all over the place. And today, unfortunately, there are a ton. There are a ton. So keep out. And tonight we get into part two, and I'm really excited for tonight. Tonight we use the story Esther. And part of the story that I didn't share, the king, how many of us know people who like to party? The king in this story was one of those. He first threw a party that lasted 180 days. He threw a party for 180 days. It was for his officials and his nobles. And it's probably like one of those things where, you know, they were like talking about war and who they're going to kill next, but then, oh yeah, pass me the bottle, you know? So they can write off on their taxes while they're having a party at the same time. It's one of those deals. Let's go away on a vacation, but I'll call in a client and get a write-off. So for 180 days, they are having a good time. After the 180 days are over, then he throws another party for only 7 days. That was for the locals, right? Because how many of us know, got to take care of the locals too, right? Got to take care of the local community. He took care of his nobles and his officials. Got to keep them happy. But then he took care of the local people. They only got 7 days. But at least they got 7 days, right? But on the seventh day, feeling a little good. And he turns to his men and says, I think I need to see my wife, Queen Vashti. Bring in the queen. Well, at the same time, queen was like, I'm having my own party. If he's having a party, I'm having my own party, right? How many ladies are ever saying, well, if my guy's doing this, well, I'm doing it too. So as he was having his party, she threw a party for all the girls. So who knows what was going on in the girl party, right? We have no idea because they didn't tell us. But there was guys who showed up at the door, knock, knock, knock. The king needs to see him. Now, the reason the king wanted her to come, it says he wanted to show her off. She was beautiful. He wanted to put the crown on top of her head and look at my beautiful bride. And that's what all of us married men should do every single day, right? Parade our wives around and say, look at my bride. She is beautiful, right? She is amazing. That's what he wanted to do. Okay, he was a little buzzed, but he still had good intentions, right? He wanted to show off his wife. Well, the queen said no. Well, thank you. I'm going to stay home with my ladies. I'm not going out. So tell the king no. Can you believe this isn't like the mayor, right? This isn't like, you know, a city official. This is a king and one of the most powerful kings of the day. And his wife says, no, thank you. No, thank you. I think I'm just going to stay right here. I don't think that sat very well with the king. And I love how, you got to love how the guys, as the king is, you know, having a conversation with his men, like, what are we going to do? My wife doesn't want to come. She's not listening. And so the guy suggested, listen, if we don't take care of this, every woman in this country is going to get rebellious and they'll be disrespectful. We got to dump her. We got to dump the queen. That's it. We got to put her down, right? Now, guys, this is not to give you any ideas of how to treat your wife. Okay, let me just say that. This is Old Testament. This is a long time ago stuff, right? But as they're talking, they're like, we have to deal with this, and you're going to have to dump the queen. And so he did. He got rid of the queen. He got rid of her, said, you are no longer queen. He stripped her of her title, took away the crown, you know, made her move to a little town, maybe somewhere else. And then what did he do? He threw a beauty pageant. He threw a beauty pageant, and all the girls got to come in, and they got girls from all over. They even had girls who were captured. Say captured. It's a horrible word. Right? But that's how we get into the story of Esther, because she was a Jewish girl who was captured, taken away, and as she finds herself in her new home, which she doesn't really like, but whatever, it's her new home, she's there, and she gets to be a part of the beauty pageant. Now, most people here, girls, I'm guessing, I wouldn't want to be, but if you're a girl, you probably would want to be in a beauty pageant, right? If you want to go and, you know, jump in, I mean, I would think that most people. And for her, think about this. I have no idea if she knew everything that it would, you know, that she would get if she would become queen. If she, you know, signed up, you know, put my name down, sign on the dotted line. I don't know if she fully understood, but she was in. Esther was in. She was in the beauty pageant. But soon as Esther walked into this place, the moment that she walked in, the king's, one of his guys, looked at her and said, I knew, he said, this is the one. Because what did he do? He started treating her with special favor. He started treating her with special favor. You know, when Christians walk into the room, that's the attitude and the atmosphere that should happen immediately. When God is in you, when Jesus Christ is in you, the minute you walk into a room, every single person should say, wow, for some reason I need to give you $100, right? I need to give you my Porsche, my Lamborghini. It's outside. We'll go pick it up. The minute when God is living, breathing inside of you and you're moving in his presence everywhere you go, the favor of God is there. And so for Esther, she signs up, she gets there. As soon as she gets in, she's pulled aside, she gets her own set of girls, and they get to take care of her, and they get special food, donuts only on Sundays, the 6 days you're fasting the rest, but donuts on Sunday, special food, a special diet, special beauty treatments. For 12 months, think about beauty treatments. It wasn't just, let's do 1 week of, you know, cleaning and giving you a bath and washing you up. This was 12 months. Turn to your neighbor and say 12. 12 months of beauty treatment. But it was something that she was willing to do, maybe fully not understanding all that she was going to get, and maybe not understanding that, because she said that she was afraid to tell people who she was. She was afraid to tell people her nationality because she was a Jew, right? She was afraid maybe because, and her uncle told her, you don't talk about it. You don't say where you came from. You don't say who you are. But this young lady was the one who saved, even though that she was a Jew, if she wasn't raised up for that moment, she saved her people. She saved herself and the people. And so tonight, I wanted to share that story. And I wanted to paint a picture, because we're going to start relating to our box, because in life, there's seasons, there's times, there are moments that are always spiritually similar, right? There are seasons that happened 100 years ago that are similar to the seasons that we're going in right now, There are times and there are moments that what we're living, what we're feeling spiritually, they're happening. It happened then and it's happening now. And so tonight, as we now break it down and kind of get into our box, we want to look at that story, but only to paint the picture as we now start to relate to the book. The king dumped his queen. Today we live in a time and a season where there are people, there are culture who are trying to dump Christians. They're trying to dump Christianity, and they're trying to dump the traditional values that we carry. Just as the king, with no remorse, got rid of his queen because she was disrespectful, many people say Christians are disrespectful. Many people say that if you quote the Bible from beginning to end, that's disrespectful. There's hate language in there, right? There's hate language in there. There's horrible things in there. And if you quote that, you are a disrespectful person. And so we're in a season, again, where Christianity, people want to dispose of us. There's countries who want to get rid of Jews and Christians. And even in America today, there's a growing force of minions who are doing everything they possibly can to what? They want to dump Christianity, just like the queen was dumped in this story. One at a time, these girls, we talked about being a beauty pageant, one at a time, these girls were brought before the king. And today, one at a time, there are people who are studying different religions. You know, there are people who are studying different religions for a reason. They want to take this religion, they want to take this religion, they want to take this religion, and then you know what they want to do? They want to blend them all together. How many of us take, you know, vegetables and fruit, and we put them in a blender, and we zip it on up, and it's yummy, and it's good for you? Some families look like that too. There are blended families. How many of us have heard that term? There are blended families. Well, today you have people who are making a blended religion for themselves. They're taking one at a time different religions to study. And I like this. This guy did this. This is really good. He gets 25 wives, so I'm going to adapt that one too. They take different the parts that sound good to them, and then they adopt it into their, this is my new religion, one at a time. If you were in a beauty pageant, and think about for these ladies who had to stand before the king, they all had to go before the king before just one night. The whole world is watching. These girls are under a magnifying glass as every single guy was looking at them and asking, is this going to be the one? And then they had to stand before the king. Think about, and I'm not a girl, so I have no idea. Maybe they're like, this is awesome and the best. I don't know. But they're all under a magnifying glass. And the thing that it speaks to me is there was a certain pressure to perform that came with that. You know, if you were going to get the prize, if you're going to be the top B, if you're going to be the queen, the winner, all those things, there is a certain pressure that came with being under that magnifying glass. And so we as Christians today, we find ourselves under a similar magnifying glass, because everything that we say, everything that we do, we are being watched 24/7. Every single person, they know your conversations. They know you. They know, some people know you better than you know you. They do. They watch you. They follow you. They listen to your phone. They see your text messages. You are being watched. You're under a magnifying glass. And if we're under a magnifying glass, well, let's give them something good to look at, right? Those girls went through 12 months of beauty pageants. We as Christians, we need to go through beauty treatments to give them something good to look at. If they're going to talk about Christians, let's let them talk about our good points, right? Do we have bad days? Yes, right? We know that as men, we cycle every day. So every single day, I'm sure there's a moment where we're like cycling, so we might have a bad moment, right? The ladies are graceful and say, okay, get over your moment. Now move on, right? We're being watched and we're under pressure. Let's give people something good to talk about. 2 Corinthians 4:7, one of my favorite verses, says this: we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God. From who? It's from God, and it's not from us. We're hard-pressed on every side, but we're not crushed. We're perplexed, but we're not in despair. We're persecuted, but we're not abandoned. We're struck down, but we're not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so this life may also be revealed in our mortal body. So then, death is at work in us, but life is also at work. No matter what we're going through, no matter what we're feeling, the writer of 2 Corinthians says, listen, understand this great power that God has made available to us, that we are these containers. We're a beautiful container, right? We're like a garden container, and we're containing this power that does not come from us, but it comes from Him. And when you accept this power that lives inside of you, and it breathes, and it moves, and it shakes, and it causes things to happen, no matter how hard-pressed we get, we're never ever crushed. And no matter how perplexed life could get, can be, we're never in despair. No matter how much persecution comes, you are never, ever, 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 ever abandoned. And so tonight I wanted to paint that picture, and I wanted to use that story just to talk about this season before we get into our dirt. So you saw that last week we were just talking about the basic frame and the outside and caring about what's on the outside a little bit before we get into what's going to be on the inside. And if you were going to put together your garden, and if you wanted something beautiful to grow in your garden, is the ground that you put it in, is it important? If you want a beautiful tree, maybe you're just into trees, maybe bonsai tree, right? Bonsai. Bonsai Daniel-san, right? Maybe if you're into just little trees, no matter if it's a tree, if it's a little rose, or if you want to grow some fruit, how many of us would agree the dirt is important? So let's just kind of start over here. Now, if we were going to start our little garden, and these came from our backyard, which some of this stuff will get returned. If we were to take these rocks, fun to throw, right? Fun to hit with a bat. My kids will tell you, as they do every day sometimes. But if you were going to plant a beautiful tree, a flower, some vegetables, would you pick rocks as your ground? Now, these are some, oh, these smell good. These are pecan wood pieces. If you were going to, if you're going to plant yourself a nice little garden, would you go and buy the pecan wood chips? Is that what you want to use for ground? That's nice, huh? Or even how about, I got some pine cones from my yard. If you want one, you can have one. How about some pine cones? Would you use this to put your good seed into? Now, this one doesn't look bad, right? This looks decent, right? Can you see? I don't know if you can see. This is a bag full of dirt, right? That's not too bad. What some people do today, and this one has pine cone, and it's also got some like rocks and sand in it. How many of us have seen Miracle-Gro, right? Miracle-Gro, now there's the stuff, right? Doesn't that look good? Didn't Miracle-Gro, doesn't that sound good? And it's got the word miracle in it. It's got to be good, right? But if your garden, if your life is so precious and so amazing, and picking the right dirt, what you build your life upon, is probably pretty important. I'm going to put a verse up here. Jesus told a story about some dirt. Not that one. Matthew 13, verse 18. He says, now listen, this is the explanation because he read something before this. The parable about the farmer planting seeds. The seed that fell on the footpath represents those who hear the message about the kingdom, but they don't understand it. The evil one comes and snatches away the seed that was planted in their hearts. And we know, we've heard this story. And one of the worst things in the world is to know that you were robbed before you even knew you were robbed, right? But there's many people who come into church and they were robbed before they even walked in the door. Why? Because they came with a bad attitude. Somebody cut them off right before they got in here, and so they resulted in giving them the number one finger, you're the best person in the world, and they were frustrated and they're angry. Or how many husbands and wives have fights on the way to church, right? For whatever reason, the devil knows how to get our attention sometimes. And you know what he does? He robs you before you even get here. And then you walk in here and you got a chip on your shoulder and you're just waiting for one person to give you a hard time. Then you want to zing him, right? Just kidding, not here. But when you come in having a hard day and a bad day, sometimes in a bad attitude, you don't hear one thing. You don't hear one song because you're being robbed before you even know that you were being robbed. And it's another wasted night and another wasted service because you weren't ready. You weren't prepared. Your dirt, your ground, it wasn't ready. And then Jesus goes on and he says, Seed that fell on the rocky soil represents those who hear the message and they immediately receive it with joy. How many people, super passionate, that service was amazing, that was so good, I needed to hear that. But then tomorrow they're cussing somebody out. It's like, yeah, last night I'm praising and partying with Jesus, and then tomorrow we're back playing chess with the devil. Seed fell on rocky soil represents they hear it and it sounds good. But because they don't have deep roots, it didn't last long. They fall away as soon as they have problems or persecuted for believing God's word. This is where a lot of Christians find themselves. Look at what happened last year alone in 2020. How many Christians fell away because there was persecution and there was problems? They had some. They grabbed some pine cones and they're saying, ah, I can just live with a little bit of pine cones. And, ah, you know, I can build my life with a little bit of rock and sand. And oh, you know what, let me throw another pine cone in there because that's just good. Right? They're saying, ah. But you know what happened as they're building with pine cones and rock and sand? They found themselves slowly, and they didn't even know it, they're walking away from God because it's just too tough to be a Christian. Just too hard. If this is what being a Christian is all about, I don't want to be. I mean, come on, you Christians sometimes are wacky, right? Jesus goes on, he says, the seed that fell among the thorns represent those who hear God's word, but all too quickly, the message is crowded out by the worries of life. How many of us have been worried about life? Now, truthfully, we can say this, but I know it's hard to accept. We know that God gives us the victory over death, that we get a pass from this life to next. But when death is on the line, it's a whole nother story, right? How many of us know that we can go from zero to history just crazy, right? Mass hysteria because you have no idea what's going to happen. The worries of this life, when you do not know what happens tomorrow, when you do not know where money is going to come from, when you do not know if you're going to get sick and die, life can become full of worry. What did Jesus say to people who are worried? Stop. Worry. I'm going to take care of you. He said, don't be worried. He said, don't worry about what you're going to wear. Don't worry about what you're going to eat. And he said, don't worry what happens tomorrow. But he said, seek my kingdom and all these things will be added to you. What does God want us to do when life starts filling up with worry? Seek him even more. When you get worried, when you know somebody who's worried, what do? You seek him even more. The lure of wealth. Wealth isn't a bad thing. But there are many people who get so consumed with stuff that it fills their heart and then there's no room left for God. Many Christians, good, kind, wonderful, sweet people. Ah, I'm just going to, you know, I need to take this money and I need to invest it in this. I gotta make sure I have money for weddings and this and death and burial and this, that, and the other. You know, so a lot of people, good, kind-hearted people, they take money. And they don't realize that it has such a hold on them, but they're thinking they're doing good things with the money because they're thinking about the future. But they don't realize that in thinking about the future, sometimes you lose sight of the present and what God wants you to do right now with your life and what God wants you to do right now with your money. Sometimes the lure of wealth and, yes, I need a new car, I need a new house, I need a camper, I need a, you know, quad, I need this, I need this, I need that, I need this. Once you get started, you know what happens? It doesn't stop. It doesn't stop. I need. So there's many Christians that get lured away by wealth. And then it says no fruits produce. But then there's seed that falls on good soil, and it represents those who truly hear and understand God's word and produce a harvest of 30, 60, even 100 times as much as have been planted. And so tonight we look at this story, and then tonight we look at the dirt. It's really vitally important what you're building your life, what the word of God, the seed. Now we're going to talk about the seed and what seeds that we're accepting. It's really important that your heart, mind, and soul, that you're using, that you're producing, that you're working with the right dirt so that when God's word hits your heart, you're ready to receive. You're ready for that seed to go into the ground, to become concrete in your mind, in your heart, and your soul. Because if it's not good ground and you got some pine cones, and if it's good, if it's not good ground, you're like, ah, I want to play with rocks, because rocks are fun. These are good skipping rocks, by the way. So if anybody wants to have some fun, these are all good skipping rocks if you got some water. Maybe I need some wood in my ground, right? Maybe I need a little wood chips. It's pecan flavored. It's good. This is my dirt. Tonight I shared that story. Tonight our part two is about our dirt. Why? Because Esther had to give her best. Esther had to give her best. She had to become the most beautiful girl she could be, become queen. Are you giving God your best? Are you giving God your absolute best? Are you giving him every single thing that you had? Are you willing to sacrifice? She sacrificed a year of beauty treatments. And maybe, again, that's maybe not a sacrifice. Maybe that's like, yes, free beauty treatments, right? Still a sacrifice. She had a sacrifice because she didn't know, you know, one day if her nationality was going to catch up with her. She didn't know if one day all of a sudden she was going to be found out. She's got the secret. And what happens? What's going to happen to me? She makes a sacrifice. She goes in, but she gives her absolute best, her absolute best to become the queen. God tonight, he's not asking for your rocks. Leave him at the door. He's asking for your good dirt. He's asking you to work and to prepare spiritually. All of us, when it comes to making money, we do what we have to do to make money. But sometimes when it comes to Christianity, we just want to skate by. We just want to skate on by. Let me just do the bare minimum and what it takes to be just the bare minimum Christian, right? And so I'm just going to, you know, get my rocks and my dirt. We're not giving God our best. You know what? God deserves not only our best, he deserves excellence. He deserves in the way that we walk, in the way that we talk, in the way that we represent ourselves. I am an excellent person. I will be excellent for my King. I will be excellent for my God. Everywhere that I go, every single person who comes into contact with me, if the conversation doesn't get spiritual, it doesn't really matter at that moment. But they will know that I'm an excellent person. And when they ask me, they will find out why I'm excellent, why I am who I am. God deserves your absolute very best, but he also deserves you being excellent for him, taking it to the next level, right? 2021, I believe, this season, this time, in this moment, we as Christians, you know, we're having a meeting this week, and that's why I love my beautiful wife. We're having a meeting, and we're talking about having a community barbecue. And so we're talking about community barbecue, and we're going to do hamburgers and hot dogs, because that's what you do to barbecue, right? And having jumpers. But the question that my wife had was, okay, well, what are we going to do the next day for church service? And if people come in, we want to make sure that they see our very absolute best, right? If we prepare and we want to invite the community to come out and meet us, and the next day we show up and none of us care, what does that look like? Do you know what? Spiritually, that's what some people see in us every day. Some days it's, I'm the best Christian in the whole wide world, and the next day, the whole world is on my shoulders, and I'm Eeyore, and I'm walking around with my tail in between my legs, Eeyore, and life is horrible. God Almighty deserves excellence in all that we do. Let's not be cheap with our God. He's not cheap with us, right? We talk about tithes and offerings every single week. And so sometimes it's on tithing and sometimes it's on what we get when we learn how to tithe, right? And the blessings and those all sound wonderful. And if God's not, he has no cheap bone in his body. There's probably no bones, but there is no cheap anything in there, right? Why are we being cheap with him with our time? Why to be cheap with him with our minds? Why do we be cheap with what we give him on a weekly basis? If he has given us, and if he's laid out his very best for this life, then he deserves that you give him your very best as well. Esther 4:12, and it's not up there, I'm just going to read. Words were reported back to Mordecai, and he sent back this answer. Do you not think that because you are in the king's house, you alone of all the Jews will escape? For if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance for the Jews, it will arise from another place. But you and your father's family will perish. And who knows but that you have come to your royal position for such a time as this. We've talked about this in the past, and it is the absolute truth. God created you for this time. There is nothing ahead that you can't handle. You were prepared for 2021. We were all prepared for 2020, just some of us failed, right? We were prepared. God warned us in the Bible. God was trying to prompt our hearts of what's coming, all the things that were going to happen, right? And so some of us, we did so good, and then we didn't do so good. But make no mistake, you are meant to be alive in this moment. This season, in this moment, it is absolutely for you. You need to embrace, again, our theme is called My Garden, because you need to take ownership of this moment. You need to take the ownership of the season and the moment of 2021 in which we're living right now and breathing. Just as Esther in this story, it was her moment, and she had to stand up to the king and say, you're not going to destroy the Jews. These are good people. And so she was scared and she didn't know what to do. But her uncle said, listen, if you don't say anything, let's let other people do that Christian job, right? Let's let the pastor do all the work. Let's let the evangelist do all the work. Let's let the people, the YouTube sensation, do all the work, right? He says to her, if you keep silent, yes, God will rise up someone to take your place. But why would you let them? Because if you are silent, people will die. If you are silent, people will die. And that's what God's saying to us in this moment. It's our time. This is our season. And as it's my garden, it's my responsibility. I have to embrace it this moment. I need to take full responsibility and full ownership that this is my moment. This is my time. This is the season that God needs me. He has called you off the bench. And he says there's no more sitting there getting massages on the bench. It's time to get in and play the game. It's time to play in the game. It's time. You are meant to be in the game. And no matter your age, no matter the size, if you're tall, short, it doesn't matter, right? God doesn't look at any of the things on the outside that we look at. He's looking at our hearts right now, and he's saying, it is your moment right now. This is your season, just as Esther had hers. I want to have a beautiful garden, and I'm going to wrap up here. We saw all these beautiful pictures, and this is definitely, if we had our choice every single day, how many of us, this is, you know, the path that we'd walk around, we'd have morning and coffee with God, right? This is it. This is, I'm going to walk through my garden. I'm going to see all these beautiful pictures. These are the things that, you know, I'm going to put together. I'm going to walk up those stairs. I'm going to have some quiet time right where that little picket fence is on the top, right? It's my beautiful garden. Why do we want beautiful? It's what God put inside of us. He made you beautiful. He made us handsome, right? That's the way that he designed us. It's the way that he put us together. And not only to understand that it's what he has given to us, but it's our desire to continue and grow and become even more beautiful and to become even more handsome in what he's given to us. And it's how we take care of our garden. It's how we guard our garden. It's how we protect our garden. It's how we steward our garden. It's how we keep certain people out, because there's just too many devils and demons and minions out there. And it's important what dirt we pick every single morning to prepare ourselves for the day. I'm going to start my day with rocks. When somebody hits me, I'm hitting back. We'll start with wood. It's easily set on fire. Someone wrongs me, I'm going to blow you up. Pine cones, they are great objects to throw. I have to tell you, they work really amazing. But some of us spiritually, that's what we do every day. It's rock, it's fire, it's wood, it's pine cones, and I'm just ready to go. We're not taking enough time to prepare our dirt. Because if you prepare your dirt, Jesus said, if your dirt is ready and prepared, then your season of harvest is right there. If your dirt is ready, if your dirt is clean, and it's been gone through, it's been plowed, and it's not your family, and it's not your kids, and it's not who's on TV, and it's not this, and it's not that. It is only just you right now. You're responsible for your dirt. How are you getting your dirt ready to receive the harvest that God has from you? I'm going to close with this last verse, Genesis chapter 26, verse 12. It says, Isaac planted crops in that land, In the same year, he reaped 100-fold, because the Lord had blessed him. The man became rich, and his wealth continued to grow until he became very wealthy. He had so many flocks and herds and servants that the Philistines envied him. All the wells that his father's servants had dug in the time of his father Abraham, the Philistines stopped up, and they filled them with the earth. And Abimelech said to Isaac, "Move away from us, because you have become too powerful." God's not made you to be weak. He's made you to be strong. Isaac, in this story, he continued in daddy's footsteps. And because he continued in daddy's footsteps, he continued in the way of God. And because he continued in the way of God, what was he reaping? He was reaping 100-fold. And because he was following God, and because his dirt was prepared, everywhere he went, the Lord blessed him, and he became more wealthy, and more flocks, and herds, and servants, and this and that. And then even his enemies, you know what they tried to do? They tried to stop him. They tried to plug up the water source, the wells. They tried to kick him out because no one wanted, they were fearful. They didn't know what this guy was going to do. Because the blessing and the favor of God, it's powerful. It's what God wants you to walk in every single day. Stand with us as we close in a song tonight. As we close in our last song and as we close the service tonight. Just a few words to think about as we get ready to go. As we sing this last song. You know, we sing a last song at the end of worship because we want to concrete what the Holy Spirit has been speaking to us. And sometimes I get it. I know that sometimes we walk in and our dirt wasn't ready. And so sometimes people walk in and out and they don't receive. But it's because their dirt wasn't ready. Let God, let His Holy Spirit speak to you. Let the Holy Spirit stir something inside of you tonight. Let the Holy Spirit move you. Maybe He's moving you in a way, in a direction you don't like, but let Him, let go. You have to let go to let God fully take over and take charge. And so as we close tonight, just the last few words. Commit to this time because it's the time that God created you for. Commit to the work. Being a Christian isn't easy. It takes our hands getting dirty. Commit to give everything because it does. It takes everything. Commit to give your best because absolutely every day, God Almighty, He deserves our best. Commit to being excellent so that everywhere we go, everything that we do, the things that people could say about us and say about Christians, wow, maybe I don't believe, but I want to kind of believe because look at that person. Look at the way they believe in God. Look at the way they act. Look at the way that they walk and talk. Look at that excellence and that goodness that's just radiating all over them. And I think if you commit to those things, again, and your dirt becomes ready, what does the Bible say? Then you're going to reap 100-fold. And who in here wouldn't want to reap 100-fold? I know I do, right? But I have to worry and focus on me and nobody else so that I can receive, so that you can receive. God, we come to you tonight. We thank you for this beautiful night. We thank you for your word. God, we thank you for this story. God, we thank you for this theme in my garden. God, and right now we take this moment just to commit every single thing that we have inside of us, God, to you. God, I pray, God, that you would help us to just embrace the word of God. Help us to embrace your word, Lord, more than we ever have before. God, to be committed to reading and studying, to be excellent even in our reading, even in our worship. Even in our prayer time, to committed to be excellent in those things. God, to get our heart and our mind and our soul, the dirt of our lives prepared and ready, God, to receive from you. God, and I pray that as Esther saw your grace and mercy and goodness and reaped such a massive harvest, and as Isaac reaped a massive harvest, 100-fold, God, that every single one of us in here tonight, God, that our hearts, God, are ready to receive, that we're ready, God, for this season. We're ready for 2021. Maybe it didn't start the way that we wanted it to, but it doesn't matter anymore, that we're going to be prepared and ready for the rest of this year, that we're going to be excellent no matter what, that we're going to give our best no matter what, that we're going to give everything that it has to work and sacrifice no matter what. God, we give all of these things to you.